Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Bobby Wine, the People's President, is the award-winning feature documentary debut from co-directors Moses Boayo and Christopher Sharp. The filmmakers follow Bobby Wine, a man born in the slums of Kampala and who became one of Uganda's most popular musical talents the country has ever seen. In the midst of the violence, corruption, and injustice of the ruthless regime of Yoweri Museveni, Bobby decides to become Ugandan's opposition leader in the 2021 presidential election, using his music to denounce the dictatorial regime and support his life's mission to defend the oppressed and voiceless people of Uganda. Bobby risks his life and the lives of his wife, Barbie, and their children to take on the country's corrupt police and military. It is a remarkable documentary film, not the least of which is the sheer violence that was visited upon Bobby and his family, but also our guests today, the co-directors of this wonderful film, Moses Boayo and Christopher Sharp. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Thank you for being here. I have to start with the question of accessibility to Bobby and his family. It is remarkable in the sense that you are there for so many key moments when his life and the lives of his family are being threatened by a brutal dictator. Tell me a little bit about how you got to know Bobby. How did you come into this project, Moses?
Christopher reached out to me when he was arranging a crew to shoot the film. And I was then introduced to Bobby at that point. But he had just gotten into parliament and he was really speaking to my heart. And so I was already really sold to his cause. And and that's how I got connected to him and started work on the project.
Christopher Sharp, how did you get to know Bobby Wine?
Well, I grew up in Uganda and my father grew up in Uganda, so I had a big connection. And I was I always loved his music before I met him. I met him and Bobby in 2017, and I kind of sat and they told me their story. I obviously knew a lot about Uganda and I knew what was going on politically. But when I met this guy whose music I loved, and then I met his incredible wife and heard about their courage and the fact they were going up against this dictatorship, when they were people who just about had everything you wanted. You know, Bobby was a very successful musician. They lived a lovely life. They had these beautiful, beautiful children. And suddenly he was saying that he was prepared to risk everything and possibly his life to try and change Uganda for the good. And it just seemed like such an obvious thing to want to make a film about this. And I said to him, you know, would you consider me making this film about you? And he said, yes. And it's, you know, throughout the filmmaking process, he just gave us incredible access. You know, at no point did he try and restrict that access or tell us what to do. And he didn't actually see the film until we'd completed it. I mean, you know, there's been a couple of people who have said, oh, Bobby must have had a say in this, but it's just not the case. You know, we went all the way through, we put the film together and we showed it to him to make sure there was nothing in there that was going to cause danger to anyone. He's a wonderfully, him and Bobby are, you know, generous. Their house is always open. There's always people coming and going, and they're all about inclusivity. So they gave us incredible access.
I don't think you can talk about Bobby Wine without talking about his charisma, his appeal, his openness, his intelligence. He seems like someone who, once he's put his mind to doing something, as we see in his music career and in his family life, once he's committed, he will follow through. He will continue to pursue that. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Moses and I started making the film, you know, I kind of felt, look, what's going to happen? We're going to be with him for a long time. And there's going to be some great sides to this guy. And there's going to be some stuff, like all of us, there's going to be some sides to him, which kind of may be, you know, a little bit challenging. But as documentary filmmakers, we've got to show the full Bobby Wine, and we've got to show, you know, every angle. And sometimes the vulnerabilities and the disappointing bits of our characters are also, they're the things that make us human. But having spent so much time with him, I mean, he was pretty faultless. And Bobby is completely faultless.
Let's talk about how the people of Uganda got to know Bobby Wine. He came on the scene as an aspiring musician and one who spoke about things that were affecting the poorer people of Uganda. He was speaking about opportunities for education, for a better way of life, essentially political, but not in a direct attack on the regime, although by inference, it certainly would have sounded like that to almost anyone who heard the music. But let's talk a little bit about how he became extraordinarily popular and someone with a high enough profile to be able to challenge President Museveni. Moses?
Yeah, that's a very fair way of putting it. I mean, Bobby has always remained consistent in his music, and he's sung about, you know, the challenges of the common man, and he has used his music to oppose Museveni on multiple occasions. He always responds to like Museveni's bills and dictatorial rule with a song. He has used music as like a platform to speak to the misrule in Uganda.
Christopher, from what we see in the film, his lyrics and his approach to his music was direct, plain spoken, and also very much in a positive vibe about not only are these difficult issues of poverty and access to equality, but he did it in such a way that there was a joyousness to the way he approached his music.
Yeah, I mean, that's very much the case. I mean, what you have to realize about Bobby is he grew up in a ghetto, in Kampala. And he actually became, you know, a successful musician when he was actually living in the ghetto. Yeah. So he really knows how to talk to his people. And he always says the ghetto people are his people. So he has this amazing connection because he's talking to them and singing about things that actually really resonate with them. They completely see. But he also has the ability to talk to them and then talk to other people in other walks of life, which is an incredible ability to have. And I'm glad you said that thing about joyful. I mean, you know, when we were making this film, we knew there were two possible outcomes. One, Bobby Wine was going to get killed. And the other possible outcome was that he would run in the election and he would not become president of Uganda. We never thought for one minute he could become president of Uganda, because the elections are just a complete sham. It's just a process they go through every 5 years in order in some way to show to the West that there's some sort of democracy, which there isn't in Uganda. So we knew the ending was not going to be joyful, but the music is so joyful and it uplifts you that actually it carries the film. And amongst all the darkness and all the horror, you have this voice, which is Bobby's voice, and it's always a voice of hope. It's never a voice of doom. You know, when we got to the end of the film, Bobby said, "It's so sad." And we were like, "Well, isn't it sad?" But, you know, and we used the music at the end just to lift everything up. You know, we have Bobby saying, you know, "We carry on, we persevere." And then the music shows you how we're going to do it. We're going to pick these people up. We're going to say everything. You know, the last song we used was "Everything's Going to Be Fine." And that's Bobby through and through, you know, that even if he's not president of Uganda, he's president in their hearts. And he's the person who stands there and gives them hope when things are hopeless.
And to that point, the film is called Bobby Wine, the People's President, which that certainly feels like that's the case. I want to let people know that the film is being released through National Geographic, their documentary unit, and it is playing here in Los Angeles at the Lemley Royal and right now. And you, too, Moses Boyo and Christopher Sharp, will be here in Los Angeles for a Q&A, I believe, on Sunday night, the 30th. of July, and I want to let people know to just find this movie. If you can't make it to the Royal, seek this out. It is such a dynamic film. It is so much to see here and so much to speak to the point that you brought up, that because of the access that you had to Bobby Wine and his family and to his advisors and so much more in his circle, that we see the unbelievable amount of violence that was visited upon him and his family, the sheer terror of it for him as well as for you. It's hard to imagine that you both weren't just absolutely terrified for your own lives during the course of making this film. But once again, the film is here in Los Angeles at the Lemley Royal. You're going to be in town for a Q&A on Sunday night, the 30th. And please, people, look for this film if you can't make it to the Royal. But you can certainly watch Bobby Wine, the People's President, somewhere. And you should. Certainly a couple of key moments in the film, his address to the Congress on raising the age limit for someone who can be president, and many other points in the film where Bobby Wine displays an unbelievable level of courage and a determination to keep moving forward. Christopher, was there a moment when you were with him and you got the sense that he was going to announce for president? As you said earlier, even though your expectations, and I'm sure almost anyone who was an observer of Uganda, knew that he couldn't, quote-unquote, win against Museveni. And as we see, it certainly didn't keep him from at least attempting to do that.
No, I mean, I think he, you know, he was sort of toying with the idea, and I think he just knew that even though the likelihood was, you know, not great, he had to do it for the people because, you know, if you don't contest these elections and you're not there, then it just looks like people don't care. And he wanted to show that people do care and that people were willing to make huge sacrifices. And he was willing to make a massive sacrifice to actually stand on a democratic platform. I mean, he repeatedly said, and he says it in the film, you know, we are not violent. We are not violent. We're not going to. The thing about Uganda is it's never had a peaceful transition of power. There's always been violence. And the current president came in 37 years ago, and he came in violently. The thing about coming in to rule a country violently is that you believe you own that country and your friends have shed blood. You've come in, you've won the war, and whatever you may say, you feel ownership. And that's, Bobby talks about that a lot. He says, you cannot come in through violence. You've got to come in through democracy. And we'll just keep trying and we'll keep trying until that happens. And he's just such a wonderful example, not just for Africa, but democracy all over the world. Someone who is willing to, even though it's pretty hopeless, willing to keep to a democratic platform. And in so doing, he just gives us all such a lesson and so much hope.
That is very much the impression that I had watching the film, watching the rallies, the people at these rallies, mostly younger people. But the energy there was genuine for change and for moving the country forward in the hopes of a nonviolent transference of power. And I certainly feel like if it's not Bobby, he's bringing into this process others that will follow in his footsteps if it isn't him, that hopefulness is contagious.
Yeah, the country has been ready for a very long time. Again, it's been 37 years of President Museveni's rule, which has been characterized with, you know, lots of human rights violations. So the Ugandan people are very ready for a change. Ugandan and Bobby, as he says, rightly so, the people are ahead and have been ahead of us for a very long time. They just need that leader, and that leader has been him. Towards the election, he really tried to galvanize the opposition to have one leader to run. But as you know, in these dictatorial countries, you know, the politics, another kind of, it's a whole different thing. And, you know, there's lots of divisions here and there. So, but then he ran and he actually won the election. From what I saw on the campaign trail, the hope that the people had in him, and you could see, you know, And this cut across like age divides. You know, you could see these old men running from their gardens and you know, these women and kids, you know, just jumping up when they saw him and pushing their fists up. And, you know, really, Ugandans were very ready for Bobby when he came. And they turned out in large numbers. It was the largest. Towards the election, the Electoral Commission reported that they've had the largest number of people, almost 20% of the total population registered to vote, you know, and this was largely from what Bobby had been preaching.
Well, I do know about Uganda is that it, demographically speaking, it's a very young country, and seeing the level of participation, the level of engagement by young people that we see in the film, it does feel like Uganda is ready to make a step forward. I know that the press of late has not been very positive about Uganda when it comes to human rights and civil rights, but I also see in this film the opportunity for a much better way of governing themselves and a much better way of life for the people of Uganda. Having said that, this is an unbelievable documentary film on so many different levels, and seeing what I see in the film, knowing what I know about the determination of Bobby Wine, I believe that history is on the side of the Ugandan people.
Thank you. And like, you know, Christopher was saying earlier, you know, Bobby is such a courageous and hopeful individual, and Ugandans have come around to continue to demand for change. And yeah.
The film again is called Bobby Wine, the People's President. And as I've been saying throughout our conversation, it's an incredible documentary film on so many different levels. Not only is the circumstances by which we find Bobby Wine and his family, Barbie and his children, under incredible duress, and their determination to continue to move forward with their work, but it's also an incredible documentary film on other levels as well, including the work being done by our guests today, Moses Mabayo, as well as Christopher Sharp, and not only as filmmakers, but also in their personal determination to stay a part of this story and the storytelling of Bobby Wine and his saga. So if you're hearing this conversation, keep in mind that Christopher and Moses will be at the Lemley Royal on Sunday, July 30th, so you can stop by there and have an opportunity to talk with these wonderful filmmakers. If not, you can go to nationalgeographic.com and you can find out how to watch the documentary film Bobby Wine, the People's President there. I hope and I pray that the family and friends and all concerned of Bobby Wine are safe and happy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your personal courage and commitment to this project. We've been speaking with the co-directors of this terrific documentary film, Bobby Wine, the People's President, and that would be Christopher Sharp and Moses Bawayo. To both of you, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.